Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 6, day 2 of our study of the book of Daniel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at Daniel chapter 6, verses 17 through 28. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at the conclusion of chapter 6 in the book of Daniel. We're looking at where Daniel is going to be rescued from the lion's den. Before we jump into that, would you pray with me before we get started? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more, not just know more about you. We want to know you. So come and touch us. Meet with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 17. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. I love this so much. I love this. You know, the king, King Darius, he goes in and he uses his signet ring. They roll this stone over the entrance to the lion's den. And then they put a wax seal over where the stone meets the chamber. They dribble enough wax over that, and then Darius presses his ring into that wax, and all of the other nobles with their signet rings, they press their seals into that wax. So there's, you know, 6 seals or 8 seals or whatever it was pressed into that wax, so that everybody knows if there's a break anywhere in that, someone has come in and rescued Daniel, and they're going to throw him back in. They press that in so that they know that no one can mess with, and Darius can't stick around to watch or listen. He runs away as fast as he can. And he goes back to his palace, and he can't stand the thought of Daniel being eaten. So basically he's in this tension, and my assumption is he's praying to Daniel's God. He's making some kind of appeal. He won't eat. He won't have any entertainment brought to him. I mean, like, here we see, it's really good to be king. It really is, really was good to be king, because in a time when, you know, most people probably struggled to eat, Darius every night is, you know, he's giving up entertainment, you know, but that's probably a big deal for him. Like, he's not used to having to go an evening without entertainment. So just so you know, most people nowadays with their iPhones or whatever else, they live at least as good as Darius did back then. But he gives all of that up, and my assumption is he's just in stitches over this. It's just tearing him apart. And I can almost hear him praying to Daniel's God, whom he doesn't know. He doesn't know Daniel's God. He doesn't know what Daniel's God is capable of, but he has hope. And I love this because Paul tells us in the New Testament that what we have is hope. Faith is things that we've hoped for, but we haven't yet seen. It's the evidence of those things we've hoped for, actually, is what he says. And so it's actually taking a physical step. It's doing something. Faith is acting on that hope that we have. And Darius here, he has just a little bit of faith, just a little bit, because his hope is that this God that Daniel serves can save him. He doesn't know if he can, but his only hope at this point, because he couldn't do anything to save him. He wanted to try, and he knew that his hands were tied because of this rash decision he had made to go with the nobles to make himself God. He knows he's not a God. All of a sudden, he's feeling the weight and the burden of that, because him, his ego getting the best of him now is costing his friend and the best administrator that his government has. It's costing him his life. And so now his only hope is to hope that this God that Daniel serves really is as powerful maybe as Daniel had told him. Maybe Daniel's told him some of the stories of his people. Who knows what conversations they've had up to this point, but Darius really likes him. So I bet you Daniel's told him some pretty cool stories, or some pretty cool stories have been told to Darius on behalf of Daniel. And so he's, and again, this is me, but I can just imagine, I can hear him praying to this one true God that he doesn't know. And he's got just a little bit of faith because he's not sleeping. He can't sleep. He's giving up his nightly entertainment. I'm sure the people were happy. They got paid and sent home without having to do anything. Continuing on, verse 19. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, son of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? So he's calling out here, not knowing if he's going to hear a voice. His hope is that this living God. So Darius has talked enough with Daniel, again, to know he didn't get this on his own. He didn't get that this is the living God and all these other gods are dead. Daniel has told him this. Daniel has explained to him who his God is. He's told stories. Again, we don't know if Daniel's told him stories or other people told him stories, but he knows some stories. He knows some stuff here. He's calling the living God, his your God, the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Has your God been able to save you? In his hope, his small act of faith is running there and shouting this into the den. He didn't ask anybody. He didn't send any servants. Is Daniel alive? He wanted to go and he wanted to be the first person to say something. And he wanted to be the first person, to hear Daniel's voice. So he has enough faith that he's done all of that. He's not acting like a king here. He's acting like a friend. A king would have sent somebody, said, if Daniel's alive, bring him to me. He gets up before everybody else and he runs over there. And he's the one that speaks because he wants to hear his voice. Verse 21, Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. So that got gruesome quick. That got out of hand really fast. But isn't it amazing? These same lions that just a moment before, they weren't hungry. The angel came in and shut their mouths, calmed them down. Like Daniel's like, there are literally angels in here with me. And they closed the mouths of the lion. My living God, the one true God, the one who's able to save, he did save me. I'm alive because he sent his messengers, his angels, to protect me. And those same lions, they're just like chilling out while Daniel's in there. I mean, I kind of wonder, did Daniel press his luck? Was Daniel kind of like, they're not eating me, this is crazy? Did Daniel at some point be like, I wonder what a lion feels like if I pet it? You know, there probably weren't any lion tamers, or certainly Daniel wasn't a lion tamer if there were any. So I kind of wonder, it's like, you know, it's kind of like Moses and the Red Sea with the walls. Did anybody like run their hand along the water on the side? I mean, you have to imagine some jokester kid was splashing his little sister as they're walking by in the Red Sea. Did Daniel, is he like, I'm not dead yet. I'm kind of curious what a lion's fur feels like. Did he go and pet the lion? I don't know. I love that. I'm just curious. You know, when I meet Daniel, and we will meet Daniel in eternity, if you said yes to Jesus, if your allegiance is with Jesus, you will meet Daniel face to face. You will have an opportunity to meet this real man. And I want to be like, did you pet the lion? Did you scratch behind his ears? Or did you just be like, I'm not going to press my luck. I'll stay over here against the wall. I mean, I really am curious. What did he do? What did he do that night? Maybe those things don't come up on your mind when you're surrounded by lions and angels. I don't know. But those are the things that come into my mind. I can't wait to ask him because he didn't tell us. He didn't tell us any of that kind of stuff because, again, this is the Reader's Digest version. So as soon as Daniel comes out, the king's like, okay, now I get to do what I want to do. And he takes all of these other guys because of their jealousy and their malice because, I mean, if you're king in an ancient era like this, you get to do these kinds of things. I'm not saying that what Darius did was right, but at this point, if you're Darius, you can't really trust them to serve you if they're willing to literally have your best guy thrown in the lion's den because of their jealousy. So I'm with Darius. I can't trust these guys. I feel like maybe I'd be like throw them in prison or exile them or do something. But he's like, kill them and their children and their wives and maybe throw in all of their, you know, food out of the refrigerator in for the lions too. I don't know. I mean, but he goes nuclear on them. He goes full Nebuchadnezzar, you know, level nuclear on these guys. And he throws them in the lion's den. And it says, I mean, these lions are so hungry because they've been sitting there like, probably like wetting their lips, you know, smacking their lips all night, looking at like, how good would Daniel taste? And they can't do it because these angels are like, you know, preventing them physically from eating Daniel. Like Daniel says, like the angels closed the mouths of the lion. So there's like some kind of physical thing going on where the lions are not, they're restrained by these angels, these powerful angels. And they're so hungry and so ready to eat a person because they've been looking at them all night that the moment they throw all these people and their families in, the lions jump up and catch them. In midair, before they hit the ground, they crush their bones. They're ravenous. Crush them and they eat them. This is a gruesome, gruesome sight. Like I said, it got out of control real fast there. One of the lessons here is, you know, there is forgiveness if you're jealous and you act on it against people, but maybe don't act on your jealousy if you're surfing around someone like Daniel. Maybe take it a little bit easy. Maybe learn from these guys that it doesn't always go well for you if you are setting your hands against someone that the Lord has eternal significance embedded in him. Not everybody is like Daniel. Daniel, we're going to find out here, has got some revelation that the Lord wanted to give him. Some of the most important revelation in Scripture. And the revelations we're going to look at, this book is one of the most often quoted books in the New Testament. The book of Daniel is. These prophecies are important. And so the Lord is making sure Daniel survives all of this for a purpose. We all have purpose in our life, and so the Lord has purpose for Daniel. We're going to see the Lord has purpose for your life, but when you have a significant purpose in the life of Israel, it's really hard to overcome that. The Lord really stands up for his people and for his eternal purposes over his people, Israel, and for redemptive history, which is we're right here in the middle of this. All right, continuing on. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and during the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This will change the Persian Empire, at least during the time that the Israelites are there. I mean, this changes Darius. He's writing a letter to everybody saying, listen, nobody worship me. Nobody worship anything. You guys need to worship this God of Daniel. Like he really is alive. He's not a mute, deaf, dumb idol that's just sitting there. He's alive. He saved. He rescued Daniel. Like I watched, he's telling them, I watched with my very eyes that Daniel came out and we threw these other losers in and they ate him immediately. They ate him immediately. Daniel or Darius is moved by this. He's changed by this. His life is altered. His kingdom is altered by this. We have the ability with our life. Most people think that, you know, or not most, but a lot of people struggle with this idea of how can I live for God working my 9-to-5 or doing this or whatever. And it is in those environments that we live for God. Those are the environments. It's not mostly in church buildings or at church conferences or anything like that. The services that we have for church and the meetings that we have, they're good. But more often than not, they are not where the Lord is on and where things really change. It's where you are every single day, all the time. That's where the Lord works. That's where the Lord moves. And that's where the Lord moved for Daniel, and it changed an empire. Daniel actually changed two empires. I believe there's going to be these pagans, these wicked pagans in these empires who will be in heaven for eternity with you and I. If you've said yes to Jesus, if your allegiance is with him, there's going to be Babylonians and Persians that we will fellowship with for all eternity because of Daniel and because of you in whatever environment the Lord has you in. You have the opportunity to see those people around you in heaven for eternity. Your company, you have the ability to prosper your company because you're there and the Lord is with you. The Lord isn't just all about bringing souls into the kingdom, although he really loves doing that. That's like number one objective. But the Lord has also put you there to prosper the kingdom. Daniel is prospering Babylon first and then Persia. It says that Daniel ends up prospering under Darius and under Cyrus, and that's a big deal. Daniel is going to be there when Cyrus comes on the scene, and Daniel's going to be the voice that tells him, hey, our prophet Isaiah, 150 years ago, he told us about you by name. Isaiah the prophet told them that Cyrus, he called him my steward or my servant. It was probably blasphemous to the Jews at the time. They killed Isaiah. The Jews killed Isaiah because they could not handle his prophecies. And I'm sure it was blasphemous at the time that some Gentile pagan, God would call him my servant. But Isaiah wrote about Cyrus 150 years or more before. He said, he's going to be the one who's going to restore my people. Cyrus is going to be the one who's going to issue the edict to go and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And Daniel's going to be there to tell him about himself. When Cyrus comes on, Daniel, again, this is all extra biblical. We don't have this, but I have to imagine that when Cyrus comes along, Daniel's there. I know who you are. Our prophet Isaiah, he wrote about you 150 years ago. Here, let me open it and show you your name. Imagine how powerful that was. Oh, I get goosebumps when I think about just what God did in the midst of Babylon, Persia, through this man, Daniel, and through his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And I'm overwhelmed thinking about how the Lord can do similar things to you and I today. The things that we do, they may not have the significance of Daniel, you know, world changing events, because maybe you and I don't interface with the nation of Israel, God's holy chosen people in these you know, prophetic, biblical destinies, but the Lord has each one of us in a place where we can affect people's lives for eternity. We can't affect the companies and the governments and whatever we do with our hands and for a living. The Lord can be in the midst of that. Wherever you are, just like Daniel, there's souls and there's prosperity at stake. And the Lord really does care about both. I'm not saying that, you know, if you give $5 or whatever, he's going to prosper. That's not what I'm saying. But the Lord does love prosperity. He really does. He loves prospering his people. It doesn't always work that way. It's not like I can't promise you that you're always going to prosper like Daniel. For some people, it didn't go well. Some people lost their heads. They lost their lives for doing what was right. Daniel was protected because the Lord had purpose for him. So when you do what's right, when you walk with the Lord like this, it may not go the same for you, but it'll be worth it. It really will be worth it. But sometimes the Lord does have us in those places to prosper where we're at, to prosper the companies we work for, prosper the governments we work for. Wherever you are, the Lord cares about souls and he cares about prosperity. So as you go about your job, I hope and I pray that you and I can incorporate this book into our lives to know him more, that we could be like Daniel, not just carve out 3 times a day to pray, although that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. But that we could learn from Daniel and that we could serve our God continuously. The 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.